Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Catherine Hines, sometimes known as Mama Catherine. In fact, there's a new book she has written with Sheila Wilkinson called They Call Me Mama Catherine. And her website for information on the book and her ministry is HinesKids.org. Hines is spelled H-I-N-E-S. Catherine is the founder and Uganda director of Hines Ugandan Ministries, which she founded in 1999 and has ministered there since 1995. And the ministry has experienced tremendous growth. And just as an example, she's the sole foster parent of 34 children. And so she's very much involved in all this. And Catherine, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's good to be on the program.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, so you started out as a missionary. I take it you were unmarried missionary in Uganda in 1995, and then you returned there a year or two later and then ultimately founded this ministry. Give us an overview of the ministry as it is today, and then we can kind of go back in time and talk about what, you know, how did this develop?
Okay, well, the ministry today is thriving, and I give thanks to God for that. Today we currently are sponsoring 360 children, and we have a primary school with 267 children. And the school is a Christian school, which gives the foundation in Christ, which is very important to us. And we have a medical clinic and a craft and sewing center, and then the children's homes. We have four children's homes.
And are some of these children like orphans, basically, from the AIDS crisis, or what? What's the background of these children?
Most of the children are there because of AIDS. Some of them were just abandoned children. There's one that was taken out of her home because the parents were not good for her at all. They were abusive, drinking, and other issues. So she was taken out of the home and given to us.
Right,
by the courts.
But otherwise, you're talking about mostly AIDS. You know,
yes.
AIDS is what caused these children to be orphaned. And AIDS is a big problem in Africa. Even still.
Yeah, it's a very big problem.
Yeah. How big? How extensive?
Well, you know, for a while there, Jerry, it was getting a little bit better, it seemed. But again, it's now getting worse. People are having a hard time getting the medicine they need. They don't have the money. For a while, there was an organization called TASO that was giving free medicine and counseling, and that was helping, but there's been aid that was cut, given to Uganda, so they no longer have that program going as strong as it was. Now people have to pay for the medicine, and it's just not happening, so again, people are starting to die. And I think it's been always there, but it looked like it was getting better because they could get medicine, so they looked like they weren't sick. But AIDS is a huge problem, and I think polygamy is part of that. And the sexual freedom of the, you know, to do whatever they want to do. Some of it stems from their backgrounds in witchcraft and other things.
Oh, wow. Okay, so first of all, tell us about yourself and how did you get involved in ministry to Uganda in the first place?
Well, it was first put on my heart when I was like 15 years old, and that was shortly after I came to Christ, came to know Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I came to the Lord not in your normal way. I didn't grow up in church. And on my 14th birthday, my mother and my father gave me a Bible for my birthday. That year they were giving all of us a Bible because they had come back to Christ and started wanting to go to church. And I started reading that Bible and watching religious programs on television. In fact, I enjoyed James Kennedy.
Good. Founder of this station.
Favorites,
yeah. Ultimate founder of this radio station. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Yeah, he was actually one of my favorite, and I enjoy his books. But anyway, on top of that, I watched whatever I could get. You know, I was always hungry for more than just reading the Word. And one night when Billy Graham was, a crusade was on the television, I gave my life to Christ. And it wasn't too long after that, maybe 6 months, that the Lord put Uganda on my heart. Only to me at that time, it was just Africa. And it's, but I knew it was where Idi Amin was, and there was a lot of orphans because of all the needless killing that he did. So I was like, God was talking to me about the children in Uganda. I wrote a poem at that time, which is at the front of the book. And it kind of was like in my heart to think about missions. And I really didn't know much about any of that, not growing up in church. And my parents weren't too happy about that. I was the only girl out of five kids, and my dad's like, no, you don't want to go off to Africa. You can do something different, or at least get through college first. And so then as time went on, I had a number of tragedies in my life, and it didn't go that route. I ended up going into business and secretarial, and then later accounting and bookkeeping, going into the business world. But I had all these tragedies that kind of caused me to drift from God. I would say I got angry at God, as if I had a right to, but I did. And felt like, you know, he just really didn't care as much as I thought he did. And just at times just drifted from him completely. But as
what brought you back
to Christ, I believe he always brings you back.
Yeah.
And he did. After being broken enough, I came to my knees and really surrendered all to him. And at that point, I understood what it meant to make him the Lord of my life, not just my Savior.
Yeah. And then
long after that,
yeah,
he put again on my heart, Uganda.
Wow. And so at the age of 36, you went out to Uganda. What was it like for you, you know, coming from the States and so forth, seeing Africa and so forth at that time?
You know, I think I was just so excited to finally be obedient that I didn't really think too much about it. I wasn't real sure what he was going to have me do, except I knew it had to do with the children and particularly the orphans because of AIDS, as I did all my reading and studying before I went. And I went under the Africa Christian Training Institute under Dr. Henry Cravendam, who's a professor at Covenant College, or was. He's retired now. And he talked to me about all the different things I was going to do and so forth. And, you know, I had told him that I wanted to start an orphanage one day for like 200 kids. And at that point, that's what was on my mind. And but God kind of changed that. I was over there. I felt that a small children's home was better. And so we moved around the country looking at other orphanages and the things that were going on around the country. And I didn't like any of the orphanages I saw, which is why I went towards child sponsorship more than having the actual orphanage. So we do have the children's home, but we kept it small. But I think I was focused so much on what God wanted me to do, I didn't think about the conditions of the living, other than I noticed that people really lived in poverty. And at that time, I didn't realize that Uganda was the third poorest country in the world.
Oh, wow. And what was the like spiritually? I understand there's some, you know, witch doctors and some polytheism, some Muslims, some cultural Muslims, professing Christians. What was it like?
It was kind of, to me at first, it was kind of interesting because, and kind of scary at the same time, because there was a lot of witchcraft in the area that I chose to live in. And never having dealt with it up front before, it was a little bit beyond me. I had to do a lot of reading and studying with the Bible on how do I handle this? What do I do when I meet a witch doctor? How do I talk to them? How can I witness to them?
Would you mind telling us a story or two of something that happened, especially if there was any... Yeah, would you mind telling us a story or two of something that happened, especially if there was any kind of turning point in that realm?
Well, I've been fortunate to lead four witch doctors to the Lord, and I give thanks to God for that, because it's obviously His Spirit to touch them.
Yeah.
And one of them that I came across was really thirsting for a way out of what he was doing. He knew that Satan was a liar, and he knew that he was not getting anywhere with his witchcraft. And he was already sick with AIDS. Often witch doctors, when they can't get money for what they do, they take sexual favors, and most of them end up with AIDS. And in his case, I went to him several times when I was doing evangelism, but he was always finding a way to escape when he somehow knew I was coming and just wasn't there or hiding somewhere. But anyway, finally I did get him and talk to him, and I shared with him, you know, the gospel, and then I talked with him actually from different parts of the Bible, mainly about Matthew 6, where Jesus says about the sparrows and or the birds of the air and how they get their food and how he takes care of them and the flowers of the field and how well they're dressed and how we can trust him to take care of us. And basically I was going on that route with him because I knew that when they come out of witchcraft, it's hard to take care of themselves. But he actually got on his knees and started crying, and he was just thirsting for hope and for a way to get away from the devil, and he was scared. He was afraid.
And what happened after he accepted Christ?
After he accepted Christ, about a week later, we had a big bonfire where we burned all these charms and things that he had, his potions and things. Some had to be dug up out of the ground and different things. It was really weird. But we had a big bonfire, and then but it wasn't finished there because there were still spirits that would come back and try to taunt him and give him, you know, demons that would try to taunt him and give him a hard time. And so it took some time. But now he's got a thriving mango farm going with trees, and we got him a bunch of mango trees, and he started a mango farm, and he's actually doing quite well with it. And he's not having near the, you know, every now and then he still gets some witch doctors come to him and ask him to come back into it, you know, you're stupid to have left, and, you know, the devil's going to kill you and stuff like that. But he's trusting God, and we've done a lot of follow-up with him and going to see him every couple of weeks and making sure that we share with him and talk with him and making sure that, you know, and he does come to church, so
great.
That also helps.
Yeah.
And two of his children have come to the Lord and his wife as well.
Oh, that's great. Okay, and how about in dealing with Muslims, cultural or committed Muslims?
Well, obviously the cultural Muslims are not so hard to deal with. They're always open to let you come in and share, and we have had several give their lives to Christ and change. Yeah. They have a lot of problems when they do. Oftentimes the family won't let them stay there any longer. I can remember a woman coming with her kids to stay with us because she got kicked out because she accepted Christ.
Well, at least she didn't get killed.
No, she didn't get killed, and she was lucky, but that's probably because it was a cultural Muslim.
Yeah.
The committed ones are not open to hearing the gospel. In fact, they usually want to fight with anyone who wants to share the gospel with them, and, you know, that's not the way to share the gospel. So.
Sure.
We basically will do what we can with them, sometimes give them a track, or try to talk to them. But when it starts getting to the point where it seems they want to argue, we basically will say, well, thank you for your time and move on. They're not easy to witness to at all. And, and then some of the cultural Muslims believe that Allah is the same God that we worship. A lot of people in Uganda, even Christians, don't seem to realize it's a different God.
Yeah. And different understandings. Okay, we have about a minute and a half to wrap up. What's the overall theme of this? They call me Mama Catherine. Obviously, God has shown you a lot of wonderful things in this work that he's having you do there in Africa. God bless you. How about just a closing thought for a minute or so? What does this mean to, you know, Joe Blow Christian who's trying to live his life here, you know, wherever, in America, let's say?
Well, my thought was that when writing the book, Jerry, was that I wanted to encourage others that step out in faith. I mean, I was one person, and I went to a village in Africa, and I came from the business world. Nobody knew that, you know, that I would ever do such a thing, but I did. I was obedient, and obedience brings blessing, and God was with me. And it doesn't have to be me. It can be anyone that's willing to do God's work. So they can step out in faith and try to do what they can do, no matter where they are, even if it's with their neighbors. You know, I just want to see more people get engaged in bringing hope to the people in the world. And whether it's here or there, it doesn't matter, but God wants us to share.
Right.
And people need to share because that's love.
And the gospel,
people dying every day.
Exactly, and the gospel of Jesus is the answer to everything. Okay, we've been talking with Catherine Hines. Catherine is with a K. Hines is spelled H-I-N-E-S. And the name of her book is They Call Me Mama Catherine. And you can get more information at HinesKids.org. Thank you, Catherine. God bless you, and God bless your ministry.
Thank you, too, Jerry. God bless you, too.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.